Okay, this is episode 30 in our study of the Gospel of John. Last week, which wasn't actually last week, we were in chapter 15, and we had, for 2 weeks really, kind of dabbled with the eternal security question, mostly because I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Which, not everybody liked that scripture, but it's in there. And the writer in Hebrews in chapter 6 also addresses fields that have rain falling on them often and don't bear, bring forth produce, are in danger of being burned. And we talked about that quite a bit. And the goal was not to cause people to fear. It was to dispel a improper understanding of our relationship with the Lord, which the doctrine of eternal security, as it's put forth in many of the evangelical churches these days, basically comes off with once you make a verbal contract with Jesus, God is now obligated, and it doesn't matter what you do. And there's lots of scripture that would refute that, or at least bring that into serious question. Again, the goal is not to make people feel uncomfortable, but all the scripture teaches us to press on and go further and, you know, try to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And nobody in the New Testament actually preaches the doctrine of eternal security. Nobody preaches, don't worry about it. And so we spent quite a bit of time dealing with that. And we talked about being fruitful and, growing good fruit. And Chris brought up spinach, which we talked about spinach for a while. I listened to that today. It was very interesting. I said to Chris, so what's your point? What are you trying to say? And he's like, I'm not really sure. There's something about spinach. Anyway, we talked quite a bit about being fruitful. And I want to read this. We're not going to have much review. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. So the whole thing about, you know, we talked about fruit and growing on the vine, and we talked about how God, if you're not fruitful, and you know, I thought about that a lot today, and you could probably consider brethren, I'll call them brethren because I can't make that judgment, who are part of the body and through your life experience with them, never have demonstrated fruit. You know them, they come, but you don't really see any change in their life. Are they really born again? I mean, that's the doctrine of eternal security. In order to shore that up, that nobody could possibly fall away, we backtrack and we go, well, the guy was never born again. Now, those are judgments that I can't make. I don't know if somebody's really born again. All I know is Jesus didn't die for your will to be done. He's not interested in you living life on your terms and on your standard, by your standard. And so when we come to Christ, something is supposed to happen. We're supposed to become changed. And from that point on, we're supposed to be seeking to be formed into the image, to look like Him. And so we talked about branches being cut off, and then we went and we looked we fumbled our way to Romans 11, where we read the passage about the olive tree and how Israel was cut out of the natural olive tree, and you being a wild olive tree was grafted in, and not to boast because the root supports you. And then we use that as kind of a learning tool that Paul writes and says, you know, you're wild and you were grafted in, and you know, the natural branches that were cut out, God can graft them back in. So I don't know. I can't make, you know, judgment on somebody else's eternal position. People will be judged by God, not by me. The church will judge the world in the sense that God's going to hold up the church and say, this is what my people look like. This is what you look like. But as far as the actual judgment of people, God's going to do that. We're going to pass before the judgment seat of God. He'll make those decisions. Okay? So,
Excuse me, this fruit term.
This fruit term?
Yeah. It doesn't really specifically say here what fruit we're talking about.
But we're going to look at it today.
We are.
It's my plan.
Okay, go for it.
That's why I brought up spinach.
We are not going to talk about spinach or any other earth-grown green foliage or orange or red foliage.
Okay.
So that was really where I was going to go next, is to say, okay, abide in me, verse 4, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me. So neither can you unless you abide in me. So how do you grow fruit? Okay, no, but in this passage, how does fruit grow? It has to abide in the vine, right? Because you can't do it anyplace else. So there's no hope for you to be fruitful unless you abide in Him. Okay? So here I am. I'm abiding in Him. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, earlier we read that if you're not fruitful, he cuts you out. And we talked quite a bit about pruning last week. If you do abide in him and you're bearing fruit, he comes along and he prunes you. The Father prunes you. And we talked a lot about that, right? We talked about, you've got 10 pieces of fruit growing on this branch. And you go, oh, look at all that nice fruit. I've got 10 pieces of fruit. And the Father comes along and cuts 5 of them off. And you go, don't do that. Why would God cut off some of your fruit?
So that what's left will grow better.
Right, so that what's left becomes big and plump and juicy.
So we're talking quality, not quantity.
Right,
yes.
Right. And by the way, I was also thinking about vines and... you know, the best vines are the ancient vines, but they don't bear as much fruit. And in the wine business, a lot of times they'll come in and they'll rip out the ancient vines because they don't get as much fruit from them. They get super high quality, but on the business end of it, it doesn't produce many barrels of wine. So economically, it's not in their favor. But God doesn't necessarily do that. But a lot of us who have been seasoned and in the Lord for a time, the fruit that we bear may not be quantitative. But that's entirely up to and at the discretion of the wine dresser, who Jesus says here is the Father. So it's the Father's decision on what kind of fruit is happening in your life. Is he looking for quantity? Is he looking for quality? Probably both at different times in your life. And I say that because, the general interpretation of fruit in the evangelical church is souls. If you're fruitful, you're bringing people to Christ. But I would say that the only person that can bring people to Christ is really the Holy Spirit. And that you were never instructed to bear fruit, to bring a quantity of people to Christ. Not to say that you're not supposed to be actively involved in people getting saved, but the reality of it is you were told to make disciples. What's that? And be witnesses, to be a witness of what God is doing, to testify about the truth of his person and his presence, and to introduce people into what a loving God he is. But people come to Christ because the Holy Spirit strokes their heart, not because you preach a mighty sermon or any of those other things. So what exactly is fruit?
According to Galatians.
Galatians 5? Okay, let's turn to Galatians 5. So you guys all are right on the beam here. Because if I had notes, that's where we would go. Actually, I did write that down. Okay, so chapter 5 talks about being free and not being under the law, as in a covenant relationship, looking to gain favor with God by your obedience to a set grouping of rules and regulations, and thereby establishing your righteousness. Hey, God, I have to be right with you. I'm keeping all these rules and regulations. And, Paul talks about the freedom from following the Holy Spirit and his directions. He lists in verse 19 the deeds of the flesh. And in verse 22, he goes into the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, if you're going to abide in the vine, and you're going to be fruitful, then these are the kind of things that would be fruitful. Yes, Kathy. All right. So you don't even have to raise your hand. All you have to do is wrinkle your brow. By the way, those are very nice colors in your hair tonight.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Today, yes.
They're lovely.
Yes, they're bright.
The green's not that good. But.
Okay. All right. The fruit of the Spirit. That would be the Spirit's fruit. Okay?
Yes.
So, is this fruit that the Spirit creates in you? Is this fruit that comes out of you because you have this? What's
Abide in me,
yeah,
and I in you, because a branch can't bear fruit of itself. So God is using a picture of grapes from which he makes wine, but he's not really interested in you being a grape. He's interested in you producing fruit. And then Paul lists in Galatians what he has received from the Lord as the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit producing fruit in you. You're abiding in the vine, and God wants you to produce this fruit, which is of his nature.
But we don't actually produce the fruit. It's the Spirit who produces the fruit.
Well, yes and no. You could say that the olive, or rather the vine produces the grape, but it only produces the grape because it grows within the soil and the provision that God has made for it. And he adjusts it and tweaks it so that it does produce the fruit. No, you are going to produce that fruit.
So you have to, but it's like a byproduct of dwelling in him. It's not like
I understand what you're saying. Okay, so I plant this grapevine, and it produces grapes. The grapevine didn't, there is no evolution. It's not like poison ivy decided to turn into a grapevine. It was planted to be a grapevine, okay? Mm-hmm. Just like you were planted by God in the Garden of Eden to produce what he always desired that you would produce. But man fell. So the things that you're going to bring forth that are pleasing to God were planted deep within you. That is of nature what God wanted you to be. He didn't want you to be a fallen human being. He wanted you to be perfect like he created, and then to grow and mature and produce fruit. Mm-hmm. So the proper fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fallen fruit is immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and those sorts of things. That's the fruit of the human nature, but the fruit of the redeemed version of mankind is love, joy, peace, etc. Okay? Did that answer your question?
I'm not sure what my question is.
I would answer it a little differently. She said, it's the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's not my fruit. And the point is, if you are living for Christ, if you have your focus on him, then the outpouring of the result of your having done that is the fruit of the Spirit.
How can
it's
you?
It's not you, it's Christ in you.
How can you produce fruit? You have to abide in the vine.
So it's essentially his fruit.
Well, following that train of thought, then everything is his.
No, but
Christ is all in all.
Kathy, you can't reach in the depths of yourself and produce love.
Okay.
But you can produce love if you abide in him.
All right.
You cannot reach into yourself and produce joy or peace or long-suffering or any of these other things out of your fallen human nature.
Right.
But now that you're born again, you now abide in the vine. Mm-hmm. And so you can produce things, these things. And to use the other picture that we saw in Romans, it shifts to the olive tree, but it's the same concept. You can't produce good fruit unless you're grafted into the cultivated olive tree. The wild olive tree produces olives, but they're not really good to eat. Okay, so the cultivated olive tree produces really nice olives, and they're great in a salad, or you can make olive oil out of them. It's wonderful because it's cultivated. So man needed to be cultivated. You need to be cultivated. And the way to produce fruit is to abide in the vine. Mm-hmm. Okay?
I'm not sure how to... Chris was getting close to it, but... It's not something that we don't really do it. Or we don't really sit around and say, how about giving me this and how about giving me that? It's an outpouring of the Spirit in us.
Well, that's
his character coming out of us.
This is the whole... Don't be frustrated, okay? That's why we're studying this right now. Because, sadly, most of contemporary Christianity doesn't teach you that you're really supposed to produce anything. But you are. You're supposed to produce fruit. So how am I possibly going to produce love? I mean, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is. And, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love... It doesn't do this, it doesn't do that, it does this, it's always... And I'm like, wow, how can I do that? But let me ask you, Kathy, have you brought forth love in a situation where your human nature couldn't have done it? Mm-hmm. Have you had love for people who are unlovable? Mm-hmm. Have you continued to let that love flow through you. Well, how did you do that? You did it because you were abiding in the vine. You did it because of long-term abiding in the vine. You did it because of a contemporary abiding in the vine. You were in the vine when it happened, but not only were you in the vine when that love came forth, but you had been in the vine. And that love that welled up within you didn't come from you. It came from him. Because when you're in the vine, you're drawing from the root stock. Jesus is the vine. His Father is the vine dresser. His Father makes the necessary changes in your life, the pruning in your life that helps you to become the loving person that you could never hope to be without him. Abide in me, because you can't bear fruit unless you abide in me. It's imperative. Can we please God?
With faith.
Are we supposed to please God? Okay, why isn't that being taught in the church? Poor Jesus lost a sheep. Won't you help Jesus find a sheep? Now that Jesus found that sheep, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing. They're all excited. Let's go find another sheep. Why aren't we teaching one another, challenging one another to bring forth fruit? Turn to Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossia, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and of our Lord Jesus Christ, not reading that well tonight, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you ever since the day that you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of saints in light. That you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. God wants his people to bear fruit. He didn't save you because he had empty seats in heaven that needed to be filled. He did it because he loves us. And now that we're abiding in him, he wants us to bring forth fruit. That pleases Father. Think of it. You have the ability to please the creator of all heaven and earth. What a high calling. All the animals that God created do what they do because that's what they do. They might as well be robots in the sense that they will act by nature. We were talking a little earlier about my dog, a healer, an Australian cattle dog. It behaves a certain way according to what the nature of that dog is. We were talking about them being malicious. They're very smart, but if you displease them, they will get malicious, like a four-year-old, and let you know that they're not happy with your decision. All healers act that way. You can get one from this breeder or that breeder. You can get one that's half healer. They all act like that. It's the same breed. Plant an oak tree, it's going to grow up like an oak tree. A poplar, straight up, makes good telephone poles. The things in creation are what they are. But you were given free will, and you get to decide whether or not you will freely serve him or you will rebel against him. Now that you're born again, you have become part of the vine. You are grafted into it. You're part of it. And as long as we abide in it, we can bring forth fruit. It pleases the Father that we bring forth fruit. You have the ability. You love me, Kathy, even though I annoy you.
Yes, it's true.
The annoy part or that you
both
love
of
me?
Them.
Both of them. Okay, just checking. What we have here is phenomenal. Now, in the world, you have false fruit. You have camaraderie because of common interests. But it's only that. It's self-serving. All this is rhetoric about me loving you. I've never had a selfless thought since I was born. Only in Christ do I have selfless thoughts. Left to myself, all of my relationships are self-serving. That's why marriages fall apart, because they're self-serving. And it's very difficult for them to succeed because you have to come out of yourself and serve the other person. How can two become one? You have to give. And so abiding in the vine is essential. But the concept needs to be taught. Okay, you're born again. It's not your life anymore. It's not this eternal security thing. You made some sort of verbal contact with God. Now he's obligated and you can live your life however the hell you want. And he's required to fulfill his end and you don't have to do anything. That's not the gospel that Paul preached. That's not the gospel as it was represented by Jesus. Abide in the vine. Because without me, you can do nothing. So, back to fruit. The Father's going to prune the fruit. Prune the branch, rather, so that it brings forth more fruit. If it doesn't bring forth fruit, he's going to remove it so that it doesn't drag down the vine, sucking up all the sustenance of the vine, but not producing anything. We're supposed to produce fruit. So the first fruit that Paul lists is love. You can't love like Jesus loves unless you abide in him. But if you abide in him, you can. You can do it. In your marriages, men and women, you can learn to love the other person even when they're not lovable. In the community, we can love one another, which is not this sloppy agape stuff. Because sometimes love is really hard. I love you enough to tell you to stop doing that because it's going to kill you. Earthly love just avoids that confrontation. Tons of men and women live in peaceful coexistence. They don't confront one another because they don't want to deal with the consequences of it. But it's not love to tell everybody everything's okay as they walk off the cliff. Sometimes love requires you saying, no, don't do that. Stop it. It's going to kill you. It's going to kill us. Abide in the vine, because without me, you can do nothing. Love. Bringing forth the love of God. How about joy? Is joy happiness? Not you. Yes, your happiness and your love. What's the difference between joy and happiness?
Joy what? Doesn't depend on circumstances.
Joy does not depend on circumstances.
Joy in the midst of all the crappy stuff.
Okay.
Right. May not be happy about it. You didn't vote for it. Mm-hmm.
I didn't vote for this. I didn't even get a vote in it. Joy is deep in your spirit. And it pleases God when you have joy. Well, let's go back to the Gospel of John. Keep your finger in Galatians. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you. How does his joy become in you?
Obeying his commandments.
Obeying his commandments and listening to him speaking to you. So listening to his word. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. If you want your joy made full, you need to be in his word. You need to be in a prayer life. You have to have a prayer life so that you can hear him speak to you. And when you have his word in your heart, because he's spoken it to you, you can have joy even though your world is falling apart. Let's face it, if you live on earth long enough, you're going to face great sorrows, great difficulties, death. And most people die slowly. Things that you used to be able to do, you're not able to do them anymore. Aches and pains, difficulties that come upon you. How can you face those things? You can have joy in those things. If you abide in his word, when you listen to him and he speaks to you and he says, I've got plans for you. Oh, they're not 70 years worth of plans. They're eternal plans. What I've got planned for you is so good that if I told you now, you'd die from it. It would be too much. You couldn't handle it. So I'm only giving you little pictures. Listen to my word. Fill yourself with my word, my spoken word, my written word, my right now word, my long-term word, and you'll be filled with joy. And joy will carry you through your difficult times. That's fruit. When people look at you and you're going through adversity and you have the joy of the Lord, that is a testimony right in their face. That you're not from around here. You ain't from around these parts. This is important. The world is full of people that think they're Christians. If you ask most Americans, about 90% of them say they're Christians. But our society does not demonstrate that. But you have the joy of the Lord. Sometimes. God's joy working in you. How about peace? Have you ever had the peace of the Lord when everything was falling apart? Whether it be sickness or some sort of misfortune or financial difficulties. The peace of the Lord. Sometimes we don't realize what we actually have. You need to examine things because, remember, abiding in the Lord is your job. Abiding in the vine. Pruning yourself is the Father's job. That's not your job. Your job is to abide. What does abide mean?
Dwell.
Dwell. Hang out. Mm-hmm. Stay in. So as we do those things, God begins to produce fruit in us. You know, one day you turn around and you look at yourself and you go, wow, I went through that trial and I was filled with the peace of God. Peace is not listed in the lists of gifts. Peace is not a gift. Peace is fruit. You know, the vine just goes about its business growing. It doesn't sit there and look at itself. Oh, look at me. Look at all that fruit on myself. But sometimes we as believers need to take a look at what the fruit of the Spirit is and recognize that it actually is growing in us. You have it. Juanita, you have peace, don't you? You do. I know you do. And God allowed you to develop that, and then he took you through a place where you needed that. Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience. We hate patience. We live in a society that's so incredibly right now, the microwave society. Do you realize when you make popcorn in a microwave, you've got to wait 2 minutes and 10 seconds? That's just not right. Can't they make it faster? I mean, really? Patience is a fruit. These are things that God wants to grow in us. Kindness. Lance, how you doing with kindness? He looked at his wife.
How am I doing, honey?
Let me tell you how you're doing with kindness, okay? How long did you put up with Andy? And we might as well move on to long suffering. No, this is serious, okay? Because that was, you know, I don't know if Andy's a false brother. I don't, you know, but now, at this moment, at least, God has cut him out of the vine.
I was thinking of him while you were speaking of love, because once he asked me, you know, that was his fourth time back with us, how can you, you know, he knows you're a mess, how can you do this? And I says, told him, I don't have a choice. I didn't choose to. I says, it's not my ability to do so. I said, the Lord has put you on my heart, and I said, I'm stuck with you. I said, the Lord has put that love within me for you. I said, I didn't choose to do that. I didn't walk out and get you. I said, you get what the Lord gives you.
Right.
It's my job to be obedient to that. If I haven't chosen to love you, if the Lord has placed it within me and put a burden on
to
do this for you, I said, I've got nothing to do with it. Don't look at me. I said, thank the Lord.
And that is...
I'm not good enough to do that. I says, I wouldn't.
Right.
He says, you're a mess.
Right.
And I says, that's the goodness of God.
And it's interesting because, you know, God chose you for Andy. You know, it's just...
Yeah, one of the nicest people you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, you don't say it.
Patient and kindness. Let's look that up in the dictionary. I'm pretty sure Lance's picture's in there. With a big halo around it. You know, these are things that demonstrate your salvation, that demonstrate that you actually are abiding in the vine. You can't make that, like you were saying earlier, Kathy. I can't make myself kind. Oh, I can give a false version of kindness, but once again, all this is rhetoric about me loving you. I've never had a selfless thought since I was born. Left to myself, I'm kind to you because I want to get something out of you. But kindness that is completely undeserved, especially when it's not our nature to be kind to somebody who keeps dumping on us and spitting back in our face after we minister love to them. You know, that stuff comes from God. Goodness. I can't, there's nothing good in me. There isn't. There just is nothing good. It's all about me. Left to myself, it's all about me. Faithfulness. Oh, you know, you can develop a pretty good external or natural faithfulness. Discipline. A lot of people are faithful to things that they're interested in. There are a lot of people that are well, you probably run into them in the physical fitness. There's a lot of people that are faithful to do it, but they're not faithful just to be faithful. They're faithful because they're getting something out of it. They want to be lean, mean fighting machines or whatever. It's, again, self-serving. But being faithful to somebody else, for somebody else, and not so that you get a blessing from it, that has to come from God. I can't be faithful to God except he grow that fruit in me. And as it grows and becomes this real and genuine spiritual thing, it's fruit. And the only way you can do it is to abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. Hang out in the vine. Gentleness. Yeah. Self-control. Of our nature, we're self-serving. None of these things are natural to us unless they yield something to benefit us. But in Christ, as we abide in the vine, these fruits do grow in us. And he, being a faithful God, if you will yield to God, he will make it so that, you know, remember we were talking about why do you prune the vine? You know, if you've got a part of the vine and it's got all this giant fruit on it, if you don't cut back and thin it out, it makes great raisins, but it doesn't make for good, plump, juicy grapes. So God works in our lives so that we'll be more and more and more fruitful in a healthy way. And that's the kind of fruit that he's trying to grow in us. And the thing is, the fruit is not being produced for you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, or whatever version you learned it in, isn't for you. It's for other people, and it's because it pleases the Father. So, questions? Because we're going to stop right there. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to mention something that happened. I'm taking some classes on Wednesday with the Pregnancy Care Center, learning to just counsel with girls that come in there. Mm-hmm. There's this guy that's doing the class too. He's studying to be a minister. And we were talking about, that adoption is usually not an option for these girls that come in there. They don't consider adopting because it is a very selfless decision. And it's never something they're considering. But he was saying that, well, right away, he's going with this once saved, always saved. I guess that's what he's...
He's Southern Baptist.
Yeah, that's what he's learning.
Well, that's the doctrine that's out there.
I'm thinking, I don't know, another guy learning to preach that gospel. But anyway, I didn't say anything. I'm so proud of myself. I didn't say anything. Self-control. I let it go.
You use self-control. Excellent. Through the Spirit.
Then he said, God is like, the Romans, and they could reject their own children. They could disown their own children, but they couldn't disown a child that they had adopted. And then he started about that in Romans about the wild olives being grafted in and that God rejected the Jews. Well, I couldn't hold it in when he said that.
Well, I guess he didn't really read that scripture, did he?
I told him, I said, I'm sorry, God hasn't rejected the Jews. He's always had a remnant and he always will. And
you should go back and read your Bible.
I did say that, but he's...
That's because you had kindness. That's because you had the fruit of kindness. I, on the other hand, might have said something.
So anyway...
Kindly.
Yeah, of course. I couldn't believe that here's a guy guy studying for the ministry, and this is the kind of stuff he's spewing out in a classroom. You know, I mean, I was like, whoa, where are you learning this stuff? And then come to find out, because I was going to say something.
That's replacement theology. Mm-hmm. The church has replaced the Jew. But that doesn't have Bible.
I was going to say something to Jenny, and then I didn't, and then we met again this week, and I was like, find out they go to the same church. But I didn't say anything, but it was just like, oh, you know?
Well, I'm sorry to say that there's a time coming where men will not abide by sound doctrine, but taking to themselves teachers with itching ears. And I believe that time is right now, and that we're heading into a really ugly time where those of us that stand up for what the Scripture actually says are going to be considered to be the problem. Most of the church doesn't read the whole Bible. They read the Cliff Notes version. They don't even read the whole New Testament. They read the Cliff Notes version of the Cliff Notes version. And it's a sad state of affairs. But that's what's out there. But we can't worry about them. We have to worry about us. And for us, it's imperative that we realize that we can please God. And the way we please God is by producing fruit. The fruit is listed in Galatians. That's the fruit God wants for us to produce. And the way we produce fruit is by abiding in the vine. And so hanging out with him, being in his word, developing real genuine prayer lives where we don't just spout out a list of requests, but we actually spend time with him, praying to him and listening to him, and become the people of God that he wants us to be. So.
And it was just kind of neat because that night after I had said that, it was like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know, I adopted the Jews first. My only begotten son was Jesus.
That's right. Jesus is the only begotten that's son. Right. Everybody else is adopted.
That's right.
There it is.
So it's just like, and I didn't say that to him because, yeah, you know, the Lord didn't speak that to me right then, but I was, hey, wait a minute.
That's because he wanted you to exhibit kindness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes. Kathy, this is going to be on a tape. Your questions usually are.
Don't confuse me.
Okay.
Is there some aspect of this fruit that if we become aware that it is not in our lives, you know, like I am, not a patient person, etc., that we can ask God to cultivate
yes,
that.
But we never. Yes, but you don't want to pray for patience.
No, I would not.
Because tribulation works patience.
But is there some
children?
Well, Kath, I believe that self-examination in as to who we are should be an ongoing experience mm-hmm. for us. The reality of it is you can learn about the Lord, you can learn the things of the Lord, but the place where you go to make your face glow like Moses' face glowed into the presence of God. And I would say this again, I know it sounds like a broken record. The church doesn't teach about prayer. Okay? Prayer meetings are not an hour where you sit around and pray for 10 minutes and then gossip for the other 50. Prayer is abiding in his presence, going into the Holy of Holies, presenting yourself before him, worshiping before him, telling him how much you love him, listening to him, bringing your petitions, most certainly, but developing that relationship with him where you spend time with him. Everything in the world is set to cause us to not spend time with him. You know, Sunday, a day of football, now there's Monday. There's Sunday night football, there's Monday. Now they got football on Thursday. Those are all things so that guys get drawn into it.
Yeah.
You know, men, women, there are distractions out there. You know, we've got cell phones. Our cell phones have cell phones. You know, I heard that you can actually speak into texts and it writes out for you. It's sort of like a telephone. I mean, everything that you, every moment there are new things that are coming in to keep us busy, 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 busy. God wants us to be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. If you want to see fruit develop in your life, you got to abide in the vine. And abide in the vine doesn't just mean slip your hand up and say yes and let them dunk you under the water. That is not the gospel. The gospel is you were bought with a price. You were crucified with Christ, yet you live. But it's not you. It's Christ living in you. It's a whole different thing. The real and genuine gospel is when you came to him, you gave up your life. It's not your life anymore. And so as disciples of the King, learning to spend time before him is imperative. And we're going to go through a really dark time. And most of the church, even people who are really born again, are ill-prepared. And there aren't many voices out there preaching the truth and preparing the saints for what's coming. The only place that's going to be safe is in him. And now I'm stopping. That's it.